This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. It is the NFL regular season finale, and we have got you covered. But first, we are powered by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career where you will love flexibility, great pay, and benefits at one of the country's top workplaces? Come join the growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Well, our NFL news and notes, it does continue. And I'm so delighted to welcome to the program our next guest, NFL alum. He was a wide receiver, played with three different teams during his time in the league. His name is Jeremy Davis. We met last week at the Patriot All-American Collegiate Invitational, where he was out supporting my son, Steven, who incidentally is on the program this weekend. So I'm extended an invitation to Jeremy. We want to reflect on his NFL career and also his media platform. That is a very powerful combination of golf and the gospel. He has a YouTube channel where he competes on the course with various guests for nine holes as they discuss sports, music, food, and their faith. Let me welcome in for the first time Jeremy Davis, who played for the Giants, the Lions, and the Chargers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Ecstatic to be here, man. It was such a pleasure meeting you last weekend and just meeting Steven in person and just seeing him killing on the golf course.
Well, we were so appreciative of you coming out and supporting him, and I'm excited to go up close and kind of hear a little bit about your journey and also get some perspective and give us the pulse on some of your former teams. And let's lead off and talk about the Giants, because they're going to be hosting tomorrow the Eagles, and certainly big expectations for the Giants coming into the 2023 season. And then things started to unravel. I know injuries have been a large part of their demise, but kind of just, Jeremy, your takeaways on the Giants' disappointing season.
Yeah, it was rough, man. I mean, last year, in terms of what Brian Daboll was able to do, essentially using the same exact team the previous season and making them a playoff contender, I thought was, for me personally, I got in some debates with some other guys. I thought, like, without question, he was coach of the year. And he definitely displayed that. And then, yeah, coming back around this year, you really thought, you know, the NFC East was going to be, like, super competitive, well, with at least three teams. And, you know, unfortunately, the Giants just did not live up to expectation. Unfortunately, you know, Saquon had the early injury early in the career. You know, Daniel Jones, again, from what the film shows, not really that effective without an efficient run game. And when you start running backs, I was just like, ah. And then the other thing, too, is like, man, they don't truly, watching tape, they don't truly have a number one receiver. You know, you got to, and that's no knocking. People can say whatever they want about my career. Again, I'm just being a fan of the sport. It's like they just have a bunch of guys who can be really good number twos, and they're trying to hope they turn into a one. You know, now, don't get me wrong, it's a talented group. I mean, Paris Campbell, Jalin Hyatt, Isaiah, the guy that came from, Hodgins that came from Buffalo, like good receivers, but no one really separates themselves from that position. And then also, unfortunately, which I empathize with this guy, with Darren Waller, like the hamstring issues, man, just it's such a sensitive injury. It's just hard to like go back out there and be so dominant with the thought of, like, man, this thing going to pull again, because soft tissues are really tricky. I think defensively, they're pretty solid. I know those corners, one was an early rounder, one was a sixth rounder at one point. Yeah, you probably just want some stability there. I know you got a Dory Jackson who kind of flourishes inside and out. But that's just what it takes. You got to put together. I know they have some team struggles and all that, too, especially if that's where I flourished at when I played in the league. You got to be very, very stout on special teams. So I think that's a lot of the issues where they just couldn't – they get those areas fixed. I think they could be a little bit more dangerous, maybe possibly become like more of a wild card team next year. But I know right now they probably want to play spoiler. And what I mean by that is if they can win this last game and you hope that Dallas lose, I think that might mess with the seeding a little bit. But we'll see.
Well, you bring up a number of great points. Of course, injuries, they were decimated. It's been a major issue. No one really separated themselves as a receiver. But also, Jeremy, I mean, offensive line. I mean, that was a major issue.
They've
got to improve that in 2024.
Yeah, they brought in my guy, Justin Pugh. Justin Pugh's a great guy. But it's crazy that he had to go back, you know, to the Giants because there wasn't anybody to solidify, you know, at that left tackle, left guard spot. I guess I love Pugh. Pugh's a great dude. When I got drafted to the Giants, Pugh was there. I think he was there 2 years before me as a first rounder. But yeah, that hasn't really been stout up front, even with, they had an efficient run game, you know, last year. And yeah, just with the issues at running back and then trying to, you know, saying like maybe we can just lead on the line and still, no matter who's back there, be a really good offense. It just was not working out.
Yeah. Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're going one-on-one with Jeremy Davis. Give him a follow on X or Twitter, at GDay85. He is an NFL alum. He knows what it takes to make it happen at the highest level. Played with the Giants, the Lions, and the Chargers. And as we're talking about, I mean, big expectations coming into 2023 for the Giants. Things did not go as planned. They've got a lot of work to do in the offseason. But what is it stake tomorrow with the Eagles, 4:25 kickoff?
Man, well, I like the Eagles a lot, mainly because Nick Sirianni was my receiver coach when I was on the Chargers, man. So
I think he's
going to obviously have a lot of things dialed up. However, I want to say, I know Dable and Nick have like similar mindsets from an offensive perspective. So I think defense is going to play a huge part in who can win that chess match, right? And I think also as a coach for Dable, you got to give these guys some incentive of what to play for because you're not going to the playoffs. Eagles are automatically clinched. Like, what am I playing for?
Right.
So you got to find that incentive to say, like, man, let's get these guys going. Let's just try to spoil it in some matter. Because obviously, I mean, you would hope these guys already have their, you know, their trips booked to Cabo already and they go out there and give it their full effort. I think with the Giants, man, just, you know, Tyrod just got to do what Tyrod does in terms of, like, within his strengths. Tyrod has always been a guy that can throw deep shots down the sideline and kind of throw, like, the short underneath routes. I think, obviously, the Eagles know who they're playing in Tyrod, and they can counter that. You know, they can make it a struggle for the Giants. So I think for the Giants, Tyrod should be a little more comfortable trying to throw more intermediate across the middle to kind of, you know, throw them off from what he typically is successful at. And then, yeah, you just gotta try your best to have an efficient run game. Once again, I know it sounds repetitive, but it's going to be really tough, you know, with Jordan Davis and the other guy out of Georgia, too, the first rounder, Jalen Carter. That front's going to be really, really hard if you're trying to go inside on power and stuff like that. So maybe try your best to attack the edges in the run game. And then, yeah, just try to go quick game also in the pass game as well. I mean, Darius Slay is a dog at corner. So, yeah, you just got to find certain concepts that can probably expose the Eagles. Because, again, from James Bradbury, Darius Slay, from a man-to-man standpoint, they probably would win that matchup.
Yeah.
In my experience, but yeah.
Giants-Eagles, 4:25 Eastern Time on Sunday. Looking forward to the matchup. Jeremy Davis is with us, former NFL wide receiver. He played college football at UConn. He was a sixth-round draft pick by the New York Giants in 2015, as we have been highlighting, talking about his former team. But the Eagles, give me another hit on this, because they have struggled late in the season. I mean, no one's hiding their frustration after that loss against the Cardinals. What are some of the biggest issues that they have got to get right before the playoffs? How do you fix the Eagles?
Oh, man, that's a tough question because talent-wise is there. I think they have to be more dominant in running the ball. And I say that because you traded for DeAndre Swift. I mean, you got a steal. I think they got a fourth rounder for DeAndre Swift. And I say they're not effectively using him, that they're more so, and don't get me wrong with this, with Jalen Hurts is a quarterback without question, but almost trying to make him too dominant with his legs, trying to go power too much, doing too much read options. It's just like, man, let DeAndre Swift run between the tackles, do what he has to do. And then, you know, obviously need a change of pace. You know, you put in a guy from Memphis. I forgot his name, number 14. You put him in, you mix that up, and keep trying to be more efficient with the run game. And as those two get going, and you can start doing, you know, some read option stuff and like that. And yeah, I think you got to find also a way to get AJ Brown going. He's kind of had a slump in the last, you know, couple weeks. I think AJ's a dog though. I think Devontae Smith's a dog. And I think Dallas Gardner's a dog. Just trying to share that love. And then, I mean, at some point, if one of them get hot and you feed the hot hand, and see if they can take off from there. But yeah, that Cardinals game was weird, but not really, because Jonathan Gannon came from Philly last year.
Right.
So he knew the formula of what they do offensively, you know, to beat them. But, you know, hopefully it's just like a little rainy time for the Eagles, and then, you know, hopefully, you know, you start to see the sun once the playoffs come.
Our NFL news and notes continues after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, our very special guest is Jeremy Davis, NFL alum. Give him a follow on social media at GDay85. We're going to talk about his YouTube channel here in just a moment. But we've got to highlight another one of your former teams, and that, of course, big-time game with the Lions and the Vikings on Sunday as Detroit looks to regain momentum ahead of the playoffs after that highly controversial loss in Dallas. I mean, obviously, they had to move on and need to refocus. They got to get some more momentum going to close out the regular season. Jeremy, talk about how meaningful this game is tomorrow with the Lions and the Vikings.
Lions clinched, won a division, so they're fine. There's really no pressure per se. I think if anything, if you're Detroit, this is the time to look for younger guys, just kind of see like, okay, who can we, you know, get some playing time to mold these guys, kind of just get them ready for, you know, maybe if they're needed in the playoffs, or just see what they got for the future, because I don't think there's any need to risk, you know, playing golf or, you know, playing Amon St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, go out there with the guys you want to play, rest them, but, you know, give it a full effort, because this, I don't think any win or loss can change the scenario that they're in. Similar like the Browns. The Browns are sitting everybody. There's nothing that can change that scenario. You know, Baltimore already clinched that division. Just go out there and play ball, and with your backups, just coach efficiently. Don't take it as a time off. Like, stay sharp in your play calling and stuff. But, you know, there's no need to press anything that doesn't need to be pressed.
Yeah. Hey, we are up against the clock. We are definitely going to have him back. He is breaking it all down. And, of course, played college ball for the Huskies at UConn. Three different teams in the NFL. But I want to move ahead. And you have a love and affinity for the game of golf. Share a little bit about as far as your YouTube channel. And it's a very inspirational platform.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously as an athlete, once you retire from the game of football, you know, your body's really beat up.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still have this competitive nature in you. And, you know, I used to play basketball a lot, but then, you know, a lot of injuries from football kind of carry over, so I can't, like, cut as sharp as I want or play my style of basketball that I want to. But and this is where I kind of fell in love with the game of golf, you know. Not as physically demanding as a sport, but something that it's always going to be a lifelong journey to chase to perfect it, quote unquote, but it keeps me competitive. So as I just start playing the game, trying to get better, and combining that with my love for the gospel, you know, it just came to my heart like to do this thing called Golf and Gospel, which essentially, obviously, like you already reiterated, I'm sharing the gospel while playing golf, but it's allowed me to stay competitive and like keep a record. Like, okay, this week, like, we just did a huge episode with Ted Scott,
and
my boy Torrance Wade,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, man, we have to stay sharp, so, like, we got to make sure we do our putting Monday, our short game putting, chipping Monday, Tuesday, let's work on iron shot, Wednesday, let's work on driving and stuff, and then, hey, we fly out to Louisiana, go find a quick rain session to, like, pregame warm-up, like, kind of like when you land in basketball, you go do a quick NBA shoot-around.
Oh, yeah.
And we did that, and it's like, all right, man, we got to go play Ted. But what I say all the time is the most important thing of the channel is the gospel. But we do want to win this golf match, so don't sleep like we're not trying. So I really got the inspiration from.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, what was the inspiration?
Yeah, the other inspiration was from the YouTube channel Bob Does Sports. You see three guys on there: FP, this dude Fat Perez, Joey Cole Cousin, Robbie. which is Bobby, I forgot his last name, but Bob's like the face of it. And two of those guys, Joey and Bob, are not that good at golf. But it's super entertaining to watch, and it gives you a confidence like, I can just go out there. They make you want to play golf because obviously there's this stereotype. You have to be really perfect to play golf.
Right.
But they show you that you don't. But then as I'm like watching and I start finding these other golf channels like Buster Jack Golf, Good Golf, Four Play Podcast, I see two things. I said there's no Christ-centric channel. And secondly, there's really not a black presence on the channel. You have a few, but not like so consistent. And I want to take on that challenge. And, you know, now I'm like 33 episodes in. Got even more like guests come on the show that are very interested. They love the niche. And I'm working really hard to get this channel to take off. I'm going to the PGA show in late January to try to network and just help this channel build, man. But I thoroughly enjoy it so much. Anyone who's listening, and, you know, it sounds amazing, you know, please like, subscribe, share it. Man, I'm very passionate about golf and gospel.
And I have to ask you, you were talking about your time as an NFL athlete. You played some basketball. Injuries held you back. Who introduced you to the game of golf? When did you first get that club in your hand? I mean, were you hitting or playing during your time in the NFL?
I did towards, like, the end of my career, right before I head to Detroit. I started playing with a buddy named Jake Hardy. We used to go to, like, Long Beach Golf Course. I used to just hit his clubs a few times. Obviously, I was terrible. Not to say I'm amazing now. Obviously, I just know the concept a lot better, and I know what to do.
Uh-huh.
I was the same with Jake Hardy. I was like, man, I like the challenge of this. And it gives me something to chase that's, again, that's not so physically demanding or hurts my body. So, you know, then I started just practicing, trying to perfect it. And then I found myself not going to, like, play basketball as much because I just wanted to play golf all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, the Lord just put on my heart, man, like, to, like, go full throttle at it. Like I said, I have a passion for it. It's so fun to do. And I don't see myself stopping. And I have a lot of friends that do support what I do with Golf and Gospel, which I'm very appreciative of.
What has been the biggest challenge for you when you are someone like that is trying to learn the game of golf and to shoot lower rounds?
The biggest challenge depends on the day. You know, chipping, it can be chipping. It's, like, just terrible. It can be putting. It can be hard for me to get off the tee. That's like when, but that's like when me and my boy Torrance Way, because then if I'm not good off the tee, then he's good off the tee. It's like, all right, bro, you just saved us. Or if he's not good chipping and I'm good chipping. So you see, you know, teamwork, you know, being shown there. And you also see one of my favorite verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage each other and build each other up just as you're doing so. You see us displaying that a lot, too, as we're playing golf. Like, good shot. Like, oh, you got this putt, bro. Like, really encouraging us. So you see the gospel displayed in actions and not just only in words. And like I said, it's not an overly spiritualized show. And it's like, okay, this is kind of exhausting. Like we're vibing. Like, it's super fun. We're cracking jokes. We're making fun of Ted. Ted's making fun of us.
Yeah.
And it's super fire. Like, we love it so much.
Hey, we're wrapping up our time. We want to definitely pause and have you connect with our national audience. And Jeremy, where can they go to check out your social media and, of course, subscribe to your YouTube channel? How can we help you?
Yeah. So in terms of social media, it's GDay85 on Twitter, or excuse me, X and Instagram. And then my YouTube channel, it's under my name, Jeremy Davis, but the title of the show is Golf and Gospel. And then we also just started Golf and Gospel Facebook page, so you can also find us on there. And I'm also on LinkedIn and stuff like that. So if they want to find me anywhere, they can find us there.
Well, continued success, and we are super excited about having you back on the program. I also want to pause and just say congratulations. This is an incredible weekend for you. A special congratulations to you and your fiance, Erica, as you guys are getting married. I mean, what a great way to kick off the brand new year. You know how to do it, right? And it's your birthday week, too, coming up, yes?
Yeah.
Come on, G.
Sunday, and then, sweet G.
Oh, that's
married Sunday, and then birthday 3 days after. So, yeah, very excited for all the stuff. Got all my best friends here. We actually just did a Bible group. I go get, you know, Tuxes tailored and altered, and then I want to play golf again. So,
Of course. That's going to set the tone for everything. Got to go play some golf. Jeremy Davis.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Former NFL wide receiver, played college football at UConn. Sixth-round draft pick by the New York Giants in 2015. First time on our program, and we will definitely have him back real soon. Jeremy, all God's best, and we'll talk here real soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Big E. Had a great time.
You bet. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, happy 2024 as we welcome you back to Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. Indeed, it is our first program in the new year, and as always, we are powered by our good friends at Progressive. Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money when you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, or rentals. You'll earn a multi-policy discount. It's so easy to bundle, and it's so easy to save. Learn more at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Well, as promised, in our next segment, we're going to take some time and tee it up. We're going to talk some college golf, and what better way to start the new year than visiting with a very special guest. We always enjoy when he's in Houston and, of course, in studio with us. And that is my wonderful son, who is a redshirt junior and plays golf at the University of Oklahoma for the Sooners, and head coach Ryan Hibble. Delighted to welcome in Stephen Campbell Jr. Happy New Year, son. And I always love when you're on the program. I know you're a busy guy getting ready for the spring season. So thank you so much for carving out time.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure being on the show, and I look forward to another segment with you, Mom.
Well, first of all, it is hard to believe that you're already a junior in college. You talk about the brevity of life and just how time flies. It has been an incredible experience for you as a student athlete with the Sooners. So I want to open up and have us go inside the ropes and just share with our audience. I mean, what have you enjoyed the most being a part of this premier program, your time in Norman, and just provide some perspective on what you've experienced?
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, I'm already a redshirt junior. It's crazy how time flies when you're having fun. I was talking to, you know, a couple of my friends the last tournament I was playing in, and I was talking to them how it's crazy. I'm already 22 years old, redshirt junior. I've only got a year and a half in college left. So it really is. Time is really, really flying. But I would say the biggest thing that I've really enjoyed in college, I mean, there's so many to choose from, but I would probably say just hanging out with my teammates. I love each and every one of the guys. We've definitely grown. We're a really, really tight-knit group. We always are hanging out, whether it's on the golf course, off the golf course, going to dinner together, coming over, hanging out at each other's places. I love just how close we are as a team, because we can really, really bond. And, you know, no matter how good you are as a golfer, I really think team chemistry is such a vital asset to a championship team. So that's kind of what I would say. There's so many to choose from, but I really, really love all my teammates.
You know, you talk about team chemistry, and that's how you guys were able to get things done. I mean, back-to-back winning Big 12 conference championships. It doesn't get better than that, especially when you're going to places like Whispering Pines and Prairie Dunes.
Yeah, no, those are two championship tracks. Very, very challenging tests. I mean, Whispering Pines is a very traditional golf course, tree-lined. You got to hit it really, really well off the tee. The greens aren't as big of a challenge as it is out at Prairie Dunes. Prairie Dunes, in my opinion, is one of the grittiest, toughest golf courses you'll ever face, because the conditions are always up in the air. Could be benign one day and they could be blowing 40 miles an hour the next. So you kind of never know what you're going to get out there. When we played this year, it was like 50 degrees, blowing 35, 40 miles an hour at 9, 10 in the morning. So very, very challenging conditions, and, you know, very grateful and blessed to be two-time Big 12 champion.
Hey, we've been talking on our program with Larry Miller, actually your swing coach, just about the rookie of the year. And of course, it was Eric Cole, but also my favorite was Ludwig Hebert. And you saw him put on quite a display at Prairie Dunes. I believe he shot 15 under. How is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, out there, I don't think that was even, you know, in the picture or even in the question. Ludwig, I've gotten to play with him a couple times at Big 12 match plays, Prairie Dunes, and what you're seeing on tour right now, I mean, we were seeing a year, 2 years ago in college. He's that talented of a ball striker, and he's a really, really good player, very well-rounded, and overall just a great guy. I mean, he doesn't let success get to his head, so he's a really, really good player, but when he went around that course shooting 15 under in those conditions, that's probably the best college performance I've ever seen, if not the best performance I've ever witnessed with my own two eyes.
Well, I've had the opportunity to watch him up close and personal, and I think what stands out that impressed me the most is just how unflappable he is. I mean, he's almost robotic, but he's a machine when he gets out there, and he can get red hot real quick.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have compared him to a robot. I kind of compare him to Iron Byron. It's the swing whenever they do testing for golf balls and equipment. They have this thing called the Iron Byron, and it makes a perfect swing every time, and that's kind of how it feels like when he's hitting the golf ball. So, yeah, he's a very talented player, and, you know, wish him nothing but the best on the PGA Tour.
Hey, it is a very happy new year right here at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We don't want to get too far into this interview. We would love to connect with you. We are always live on social media, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info at eRadiosports.com. You can go back and listen to this exclusive interview at podcastarena.com. with my son, Stephen Campbell Jr. He is a redshirt junior at the University of Oklahoma for the men's golf team. And give him a follow on X at underscore Stephen, J-R-O-1 underscore. And Stephen, I want to take our conversation now to what life is like being a college athlete. I experienced it at Oklahoma as a basketball player, but it is no easy challenge. There's a lot of pressure. You've got to be able to manage your time. You've got to be able to manage expectations and do well athletically and academically. So talk to our audience about how you have been able to balance the intensity of the schedule, the pressure. Just shed some light on the challenges of being a student athlete and playing college sports.
Yeah, like you were saying, it's definitely a grind. You really have to hammer time management. That's something I wish I knew coming into college, because it was definitely a big time adjusting period for me. It took me, in my personal opinion, like a full year just to really get fully acclimated and fully adjusted to the schedule. But an average day in my life, you know, when we're in season in full swing, is, you know, we'll have workouts at either 7:30 in the morning. Then sometimes, depending on the day of the week, I'll have class maybe 30 minutes to an hour right after that. So I'll go in the training room, get some recovery in, then, you know, head off straight to class, get a quick bite to eat. And then I got class from probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock to anywhere from 12:30 to 1. And then if we have qualifying or practice that day, it starts at around 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And we're out there until dark, and then, you know, go eat dinner, finish up some homework, hang out with the guys, and repeat the process all over again. So it's definitely a grind. It's not for the faint of heart, and you really, really got to love it. But, you know, that's what the journey and the process is all about, and I love every minute of it. So this is just a stepping stone to the next level, which is the tour.
Yeah, and we've talked about it so much. I mean, just how incredibly blessed you are to be pursuing your passion each and every day. And you were just talking about earlier how you're surrounded with just amazing teammates and coaches. But I want to bring up and talk about a big part of your support system as a college golfer is CGF. It's College Golf Fellowship. So give a shout out to this wonderful organization. Tell us about it, the impact that it has had with you personally, and how it supports your faith on and off the course and truly is investing and growing up the lives of young men.
College Golf Fellowship is, in my opinion, one of the biggest blessings I've ever had in my life. It's really, really cool that, you know, a Christian organization specifically targets college golfers. And I went to my first retreat when I was actually in high school. I got invited. I got invited out there, and I was obviously the youngest one out there because it's a college golf driven thing, and absolutely loved it. Had the time of my life, got to meet some great people, and then have continued that on into college. And two of the guys who come over to our house, you know, every week or every other week for Bible study is Bryce Newell and Carson Majors. They do just a fantastic job, and they've helped me so much in my life, grow me up spiritually, and have helped me so much. So I can't thank them enough, and I love the organization of CGF, getting together, doing retreats. It's awesome how Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, two of the top golfers in the country right now, the world right now, are a part of this organization. Just, you know, they'll go to a retreat for a weekend, hang out with us, and just guys being guys. So it's a great organization. It's definitely grown my faith so much in college.
Well, this is the perfect segue, because let's hear about your opportunity to work with Scottie Scheffler at his Junior Golf Challenge and retreat that he held at Stonebriar Country Club in Frisco, Texas. Your little brother Eli competed in this elite field. It was the top golfers in the state of Texas. And what was that like to have that experience and be a part of the CGF staff and to give back?
Yeah, it was great. And that was kind of my first time, you know, being a, you know, retreat leader. And it was around 12 to 13 guys, you know, college and professional golfers. And we got to host 5 to 6 high school kids in our little small group and teach them about the gospel, teach them about Jesus and how he has helped our lives through the game of golf and outside of golf. And, You know, when we weren't teaching the high school kids and they were off playing in the tournament, they had a couple pastors come in and, you know, teach us about how to be disciples. And wow. It was a really, really great experience. You know, I still hold on to a lot of the things that they taught me. And, you know, I'm really excited to see how that's going to continue to grow me and as a man as I continue on.
You bet. He's back from the University of Oklahoma men's golf team, redshirt junior Stephen Campbell Jr. And let's talk some more about Scottie Scheffler. Of course, it's been a big week. He is the PGA Tour Player of the Year, an amazing young man and role model. I enjoyed watching him on that Netflix. Just kind of share a little bit more as far as your time with him and what did you learn personally? I mean, what was your biggest takeaway? Because he did share his story of faith and interact with the 80 players in this event.
Yeah, Scottie's just, he's such a down-to-earth guy. I've really never seen someone at the top of the world as an athlete be that down-to-earth and just be, you know, that humble of a guy. And he shared a lot with just the other people that were there about, you know, success is always temporary and, you know, you can never ever get satisfied with, you know, being where you are no matter how much success you've had. And we're always chasing after something. That was kind of the biggest thing that I learned from him is, you know, he's literally living the dream that I want to do as I get older. And, you know, he's Masters champion, so many PGA Tour victories and Ryder Cupper and just all these different things. And he's talking about how all those things are just, they never, ever satisfy you. And there's always something, there's something greater out there that is going to satisfy you. And that's Jesus. And, you know, it's really great to hear someone, like I said, who's on top of the world in the golf, you know, community and in the golf world that is that down to earth and is that open and bold about their faith.
The conversation continues with University of Oklahoma men's golfer Stephen Campbell Jr. after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go inside the ropes with Stephen Campbell Jr. What do you appreciate the most about Scottie Scheffler's game?
About his game? I would say, you know, kind of how even keel he is and his preparation coming into a tournament. They were actually talking about it on the Golf Channel the other day, and a lot of people, you know, they have to be doing a lot of these certain things right, and, you know, kind of the two main things he talks about that he knows he's going to do well in a tournament if he has these things right is his preparation leading up to the event and his attitude. If he's got those two items in check, you know, he knows he's going to play well, and I've found that very interesting to hear because, you, I mean, you hear so many tour players, you know, get so technical and get so wrapped up in a lot of different things. And I loved how kind of easy that sounded, but it's a lot easier said than done. But I really enjoyed hearing that.
And it certainly is a powerful combination. Well, we're going to move ahead. Let's get our listeners up to speed, Stephen, with the latest from your corner. You just returned from Arizona playing in a prestigious national tournament, the Patriot All-American Invitational, which is a three-day tournament, 54 holes, held at Wigwam Golf Resort. This is your third year to compete. And you shared with me that it's your favorite event of the year. You always circle the calendar for this. It's very special. So what does it mean for you to compete in this exclusive invitational?
Yeah, the Patriot All-American is, it's by far, in my opinion, one of the best amateur events that I've ever played in. I enjoy it every single time I go out there. They always just do a fantastic job when it comes to hosting, housing, get to room with, you know, some of my teammates and just, you know, They got everything there. I mean, they've got, it feels like a live event almost. They got music blaring on every single hole. It's like a big nonstop party for about 5 or 6 days. And one of the coolest things that we get to do is we get to honor a disabled or fallen soldier, and he's on our bags all week. So I think it's awesome that they, you know, we're playing for something greater other than, you know, our golf game, because it's very easy to get super selfish and super wrapped up in our own game and realize that, you know, golf's not life and death. What these men and women are doing to serve our country is life and death. And it's really, really awesome to see this event honor the fallen soldiers and our fallen heroes.
Well, it really puts into perspective, and the bag that you carry represents honor, respect, and bravery for those who served. And most importantly, we want to continue to honor them and share with our listeners a little bit about the opening ceremonies. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, the opening ceremonies are great. They had about 6 or 7 guys jump out of a plane with different flags. All across, you know, the United States Marine Corps, and it was awesome to see, you know, those guys, I mean, doing over 1,000 to 2,000 jumps in their lifetime and just acting like it's no big deal, jumping out of a plane. That was great. And then they brought in a couple of guest speakers, Colt Nost, for example.
Oh, yeah.
He introduced a lot of the guys.
Paige McKenzie.
Yeah, Paige McKenzie was introducing a lot of the girls. And it was really, really special. We got to hear a lot of great stories from some retired veterans. And it was just a really, really fun experience.
And, of course, you had an opportunity to go to Luke Air Force Base and got to be reunited with Enzo again.
I did,
yeah. What's that experience like when you get to go there? Because the parents don't go to that.
Yeah, so Luke Air Force Base is awesome. We got to, you know, go first. Our first stop, we load up in three different buses, and we got to go out and explore. Like, they kind of got to show us what all their training animals get to do, and they got to run the course, and, you know, they got to put a person in a bite suit, and the dog would just go attack him.
Oh, wow.
So it was it's very, very cool, and to see, like, how trained, well-trained these animals are to serve our country. So really cool to see that. And then when the trip was over, we got to hang out in a private hangar where a lot of the airplanes are. Got
oh, wow.
to eat some Rudy's barbecue, hear a couple people speak.
Woo-hoo.
And it was it was a really cool experience. I love, you know, touring the Air Force Base every single year, and we got to also see some of the weaponry that they use when fighting and serving our country. So overall, really, really great experience. If you're a amateur golfer who's super highly ranked, I'd love for you to go play in that event. It's fantastic.
You were talking about the opportunity to get to spend some time with your teammates. One of your besties and your roommate that did a great job and played extremely well was Ben Lorenz. He's one of the top college players in the country. And how about Ryder Cohen as a freshman? I thought he had a very strong showing. And former PGA pro J.J. Henry's son, Connor Henry, he played extremely well. So there's a lot of young, wonderful talent at Oklahoma. And I thought you had a very strong performance in your final round, fired a 65. And that's got to give you a lot of confidence going into the spring season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one round isn't going to just give me, you know, the world of confidence, because, you know, the work and preparation that I put in is what gives me all the confidence in the world. And yeah, super excited to, you know, have a good final round. It was, you know, it felt like the lid was on the hole first couple of days and really couldn't get anything going, but it was nice to cap it off with a nice final round. And yeah, shout out Ben Lorenz and Connor Henry. Both played some great golf. Connor's one of our freshmen on the team, super hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
He's a super great guy. And Ben, obviously, he's just doing his thing. He's one of the most talented ball strikers in the country, and he's got a really, really good short game. So it's a great combination for him. And Ryder, he's one of the top freshmen in the country, in my opinion. Dude's a super hard worker, really, really overall well-rounded game, and he's got a great attitude. He's always wishing the best for people. So, you know, it's really nice to see we got a lot of great dudes on our team, not just, you know, good golfers, but we got overall great dudes.
Well, I was very impressed with Ryder because he was in your group on the first day and part of that pairing, and it's just amazing seeing these freshmen be able to step up and play on a big-time stage like this, and they're not afraid.
No, they're not. I mean, Ryder got off to a really shaky start. I mean, he was like 3 over through 9, you know, finishing the tournament about 5 or 6 under and coming in the top 7 or 8. So really, really great to see him playing well. He did well, very well for us at Big 12 match play, going 4-0-1. Kind of routing a lot of guys out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's you know, he's taken a lot of big time strides in his game, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do this spring.
Hey, Stephen, give us a preview of the 2024 spring season and some of the venues that you guys will be playing at and competing.
Yeah, well, February 11th, I believe, we're headed out to Puerto Rico, play there. There's another tour spot online for the Puerto Rico Open, so always a great tournament down there. Then we're going to Southern Highlands in Vegas, another tour spot on the line, the Shriners Open, always a great event out there at Southern Highlands, one of my favorites of the year. Then we got some new stuff on the schedule, going down to San Diego at Palma Valley, because the national championship this year is going to be in San Diego, so we're hitting the West Coast more. Then we're going out to Florida, playing in the Floridian, and then we are going to Augusta's tournament at Forest Highlands. Great course. Really excited for that. Then going back out to Arizona at Papago for Arizona State's event. Then we got Big 12s at Whispering Pines and regionals and the national championship. So really, really solid spring schedule ahead of us, and we're really excited for it.
Well, it is an incredible and it is a challenging schedule. How does being in Oklahoma practicing, I mean, the weather can be very diverse, prepare you for these big time events and venues?
Yeah, the weather in the spring,
it's got to give you a competitive edge, I would think.
I totally agree. I think Oklahoma, it's one of the crappiest places to practice in the country,
because hey.
Especially in the spring, it's always blowing. You know, conditions are never really ideal.
It can be nasty.
It can be. But I love it. I really, really do. You know, it makes you just so much better, and it makes you uncomfortable all the time. And that's what we're trying to do, is just make ourselves super uncomfortable in practice. So when we get to the tournament, it's going to be just that much easier. So I really feel like it's helped me a lot, just especially mentally, having an extreme amount of mental fortitude. And then kind of when we go out to a lot of these tournaments, when the weather's not near as bad, we're like, this is a kind of a cakewalk. So it's a lot of fun. We love it, and you know, really thankful to be a part of the Sooner clan.
And it's certainly going to prepare you as you guys get ready to head into the SEC here in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all excited about that. You know, competition's going to be even better. We're going to have even more of a stack conference with us in Texas joining the SEC. So we are really excited for a conference championship at Sea Island next year. Always a treat going out there.
As we get ready to wind down, I definitely want to have you recognize a young man who was not your teammate, but a very big part of the Sooner family and the Oklahoma golf program. And he's got that million-dollar smile. Wonderful young man, 26-year-old from Dallas, Texas, and he just earned his PGA Tour card. And, of course, we're talking about Blaine Hale.
Yeah, Blaine. I mean, that was fantastic. Like, I had my eyes glued to my phone watching Blaine coming down the stretch. I mean, for the listeners and people that don't know about Blaine, he's played in one PGA Tour sanctioned event.
Wow.
Since turning pro, and he's been pro for about 5 or 6 years now. So it's definitely been, you know, a grind for him, and he's had some very unfortunate breaks go his way. But I mean, that's what it's all about. Just continue to keep your head down, keep believing, and goes from having nothing to a PGA Tour card. And I mean, I'm so proud of him. It's going to be awesome. I've gotten a lot closer with Blaine as years have gone on, and he's just a fantastic dude, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do on tour.
Well, Blaine, as you're talking about, I mean, he's had to fight through a lot of adversity. He's ready for this big time stage and this big time moment. How does that inspire you as a college golfer to see all that he has gone through, the scar tissue and everything, and he made it? He made the PGA Tour.
Absolutely. And I know for him, you know, just making the PGA Tour is not enough. He's going to continue to work to try to be the best player he can possibly be. So he'll never be satisfied, and I know that. And, you know, it inspires all of us because every path is different. You could have a guy like Ludwig, for example, just getting his tour card right out of college and honestly a pretty easy path to the tour. And you got Blaine, who's been, you know, just grinding on mini tours and Q school for the past 5 or 6 years. So everyone's path is different, but, you know, if you continue to work at it, it can be done. So it was really, really awesome to see that happen for him.
Good stuff. Stephen Campbell Jr., redshirt junior at the University of Oklahoma for the men's golf team, dropping by during his time in Houston. Christmas vacation, it is over, and it's time to roll up the sleeves and get back to work. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. Always love being on the show.
That, of course, is my son, Stephen Campbell Jr., University of Oklahoma men's golfer, redshirt junior. Always so much fun when he is in studio. And a big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. And everyone, enjoy the game. NRG Stadium National Championship with Michigan and Washington. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.